When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning to you. It's 9:10 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Kyle Whitehead is with me. He is the chief of police for St. George City. Chief, how you doing, man?
Great. Thank you for having me on today.
Been a little while. I'm glad, glad you're back, man. It's good to see you.
Well, it's always nice to come in and... like we were talking about a minute ago, the view. It's a good view.
It really is. I just wish it wasn't quite so hot out there.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to get hotter over the next few days.
Yeah, so summer decided it's not going to be done. And actually, I feel for some of your police officers who are out there in it in full gear and, you know, flak jackets and the whole works. And
yeah.
They don't get to dress down in a pair of shorts and a tee, you know.
And didn't summer seem to start a little early this year?
It did, I know.
We were hitting hundreds by the 1st of June. That's kind of unusual. But
I thought, okay, early summer, then it'll end early, right?
So far, not.
Not so much. So, Chief Whitehead, you've been chief for how many years now? Is it three?
Four.
4 years,
yeah.
Wow.
It'll be in March, next year, March, will be five.
How have you changed? I always ask coaches this, so first year coach, you know, and I've been in sports for so many years, and it's amazing. They say that actually I'm a completely different coach than I was 5 or 10 years ago. Have you changed? Are you a different chief than you were 4 years ago?
I don't know. It's hard to say when you live it day to day.
Right.
You know,
true.
It's like you watching your kids grow up and you don't really notice it until someone comes to visit and says, oh my gosh, they were this tall and now they're this tall.
Yeah.
But I think so. I think, you know, I've made mistakes along the way. Probably things that I try and learn from all my mistakes. But, I think a couple of things that I've learned over the last few years is number one, patience with myself, patience with other people. And really try and listen and understand people's perspective. Not that I necessarily agree with everything people say, but to still listen and not immediately feel like I have to insert my opinion or I have to be right all the time.
Yeah,
I think it's important.
Patience is huge. Yeah, absolutely. I had a chance to spend some time researching a topic about trust. And, it applied. It was a religious context. I gave a talk. But I thought, you know, this is actually a pretty good topic for the police department, because there was a time 4 years ago, the whole Black Lives Matter and things where the national narrative was don't trust, you know, police anymore. And I don't think it was that way much here.
Fortunately not.
But yeah. Still, there was a narrative out there that, you know, well, if you're a young person, you can't trust the police officer. What do you think came of that? Was there long-term damage in the relationship between the police department, the police officer, and the public?
I don't know. You know, I think every officer might have a different opinion on that. I think from my perspective, I don't think there has been really any damage. We've always had great support from our community here in St. George and even in Washington County. The community is very supportive of the police. When there was the call to defund the police, as we all remember back in 2020, we didn't hear any of that here from our elected officials, from our citizens. In fact, they oftentimes would say we want more resources for our police because we don't want to see happen what's happening in some of these other cities. And so I think from my perspective, no. And that's something we've really tried to focus on as our police department over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years is trying to build more relationships in the community. It seems like a few decades ago, the police were kind of this mysterious government organization.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we won't really talk about what we do. We just will do it. Let us do our job. But society's changed a little bit. They want to see, and I hate to use this word, they want to see more transparency. They want the police to, they feel like they're a little bit more approachable. And so we make a lot of efforts to get out in the community, be part of events, and really engage and have those positive experiences.
One of those events, I think, is today, right? No, Thursday, rather. Open house?
Yeah, so the city's hosting an open house at Vernon Wortham Park. If anybody is interested in getting to meet with any of the department heads to talk about different issues in the city, in St. George, they're more than welcome to come. The elected officials will be there, the department heads from all areas of the city.
Does that mean you?
Us as well, yes. Yeah, I'll be there. And if there are any questions, people want to convey any concerns to us, then they're more than welcome. They're always welcome to call in and talk to us, but certainly face-to-face we'll probably have some little things to give away and
I think there's hot dogs and stuff too as well.
Yeah, food, there's usually hot dogs and some chips and some some water to go around. So it's usually a really good event though, really fun.
Meet the people that run your city. I like it. And I think, you know, that's one of the reasons I've always liked having you on, Kyle, is for people to have an opportunity to get to know you and get to know, you know, like you said, it seemed like police, you know, the police chief, you know, this big, powerful, mysterious guy.
Yeah, I'm really not.
We don't want that.
No, just I'm not. Just one other person.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, I'm glad you're here. One of the things that my sister actually called me, wanted to talk about Dixie Downs Drive, and she was like, you got to do a show on this, and I was like, well, I will do, we'll talk about it, but Dixie Downs had been, a big portion of it has been taken down to one lane instead of two driving vehicle lanes, motor vehicle lanes. A lot of people pretty unhappy about that. The city line that I was hearing was, well, we need people to slow down. There's a school there, et cetera, et cetera. But what happens is you have no control over what happens to, you know, what they do to the street. What you get as a police officer, as a police department is, okay, now we have to police this.
Yeah.
And so what's your take on Dixie Downs Drive and what we're seeing over there right now?
It's interesting you bring this up, because I think there's probably some information that might help people understand it, whether they agree or not, but at least to understand why the city restriped that roadway. But what's funny, you mentioned you had a family member call you. My dad lives out in that area, and the first day it happened, I had an earful. I actually went to Cedar with him for another event, and I heard about it all the way to Cedar, so it was good. So here's what happened. If we recall, there are two elementary schools in the Dixie Downs area right now. You've got Dixie Sun Elementary on 1230 North, and then there was another, I believe it's Coral Cliffs Elementary up on, I think it's 2000 North. Don't quote me. I'm bad with streets. I don't work out on the streets much anymore. So, well, they closed that school down because of population and just some boundary adjustments. They're using it for some other things now. And so it used to be all the kids on the west side of Dixie Downs went to, the school up in the north, and everybody on the east side of Dixie Downs went to Dixie Sun Elementary. And so they weren't having to cross elementary students on the Dixie Drive. So what happened when they closed that school, now they've had to go back to having a crosswalk across Dixie Drive. The problem we've had with that crosswalk in the past, it's really dangerous to cross double lanes. What we would find happen, the guard steps out with their sign, the person in the outside lane stops, and maybe they're like in a larger vehicle that where the clearance is high, they can't see. Well, somebody just thinks maybe they're slowing down for that right turn. They come by, and we had some very near misses. In fact, I think we may have had a few people hit in that crosswalk.
Wow.
And so because it's a double lane both directions for safety issues, our engineering department evaluated it and I believe felt like that it would be safest to cut it down to one lane while that school crosswalk is there. Now, some might argue, well, why does it have to be the whole stretch? I don't know. To me, it might be kind of weird to have, you know, two lanes and then kind of decrease it down to one lane for the crosswalk, but maybe there are other options. But again, if people have concerns or would like to give their feedback on it, this Thursday would be a great opportunity to come and talk with our engineering department, our streets department, representatives from there, and at least maybe come up with some other solutions if it's really creating some problems. The other thing that I was told is, surprisingly, the traffic count on that road is not as high as you would think.
Hmm.
it's comparable to South Main Street. You remember a few years ago, they had two lanes each direction on Main Street between 700 down to Bluff, and they cut that down to one lane now. Mm-hmm. And it really hasn't, I guess I shouldn't say it hasn't affected. From my perspective, I don't know that it's really affected or caused congestion with having one lane each direction. And so where it didn't seem to create issues on that road, maybe that had something to do with the decision on the other one. And there's also a crosswalk on that South Main as well. And so, again, in the interest of safety, and sometimes it's inconvenient, we get that. But sometimes we've got to make sure we're trying to design our roadways to be safe for everybody, not just the cars.
Well, and the thing about it, too, is they don't just willy-nilly go, okay, let's cut this down. There's all kinds of they do all kinds of traffic studies. And as you mentioned, they take into account where have there been accidents or near accidents in these areas, how many cars are on that road, and its busiest time. I think a lot of people think, well, somebody just felt like doing it, and so they did that. And I don't know what the answer is. I mean, the answer is what it is right now, and I don't know if it's going to change back eventually or not, but right now this is the way it is. And for you guys now, okay, well, the police department gets to try to, patrol it, do your job there.
Yeah, I think on our end, I don't know that it's caused us any extra work. I think more so for the communities that live out in that area, it's been a little bit of an inconvenience because now when you get a slow-moving vehicle, it used to be you get another lane and you pass them. Well, you can't really do that now.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're talking with Chief Kyle Whitehead. By the way, if you want to, got a question for the Chief of Police, give us a call at 673-5890. That's 435 area code, 673-5890. I'll give my text line out in a minute. Somebody commented that you always give the studio line and then your text line, and then we're not sure which is which. So I'm going to give just the studio line out right now, 673-5890, 435-673-5890, if you want to call. We're going to be giving away something away a little bit later on in the show. We also, Ethan will be back from Teton Wealth here in about 10 minutes or so. So lots of fun stuff. It's been actually kind of a crazy morning here on KDXU, Chief. People coming in and out, and
that's good.
Live commercials. And I know it's definitely a good thing, but
if craziness is like in my job, it usually means the day goes by fast.
It's true.
It's
true.
Maybe it's that way for you.
I can tell you this: 4 or 5 years ago, when I was newer at this job, I wouldn't have been able to handle today very well. It would have been a mess. But now that I've been doing it 5 years, I'm like, yeah, I got this.
There you
We're
go.
Good.
That's good. So. We wouldn't want you having a meltdown in here.
No. Well, especially with the sun shining in, right?
Yeah.
So, again, we're talking with Chief Whitehead. Tell me a little bit about the department. One thing that always fascinates me is the effort to try to keep police officers, try to keep them on. It's a competitive field. And I guess, and I don't know, you can confirm or deny this, that the UHP probably pays the best of anyone in the state. They're the big boys, right? The state police. And so then you're faced with, okay, how do we keep quality officers who have Ogden and West Jordan and Provo and the UHP calling them and saying, hey, come work for us. We'll give you a raise or whatever. What are some of the tactics that you use to try to retain good guys?
You know, surprisingly, right now, we don't seem to be having a big issue with people looking elsewhere. I think our compensation and our benefits are pretty competitive around the state. It seems like every agency is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I think we're paying comparatively here in St. George. It's interesting. What we often find is each department is a little different. You talk about UHP. Some people really like traffic, and if you want to write tickets and handle crashes and do DUI investigations, then UHP is probably the right place for you. The benefit of being like in a municipal police department like St. George is you get a lot more. There you see a lot more of all areas of policing. We deal with more domestic crimes. We deal with frauds. We deal with assaults. All kinds of things where they typically don't on the highway. Now, there are other divisions, I think, within UHP that you can go to get some of that.
Yeah.
But we see it in more volume. We recently hired an employee from UHP. And
really?
Or actually, maybe we'll be hiring. I think they start next week. So, you know, it kind of goes both ways. We've been fortunate in that we haven't, in the recent past, I can't recall of us losing an officer to go to another agency just because they were paid more or those types of things. I mean, sometimes family situations creep up. We just had an officer recently have to move out of state. He came from out of state, but due to family situations where his family's at, he's had to leave. And so, but knock on wood, I guess, we've been pretty fortunate. And we're always looking for ways to make sure that we're being competitive. We want to retain, we want to attract good people, and then we want to retain good people. And so, but it's challenging. Certainly.
One of the things about, well, it's kind of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you get to live in St. George if you work for St. George Police Department, and it's a wonderful place to be. It really is. On the other hand, you've got to try to find a house in St. George, and let's face it, buying a house in St. George is not a palatable prospect for someone who doesn't own one already, because to get even a small house is $400,000 nowadays, and
yeah, it's difficult. Fortunately, it seems like a lot of our officers that lateral in have typically had homes either in other parts of the state or other states. They're able to sell homes, and so they come here and are able to get into something.
Yeah,
certainly with new officers, that's challenging. One of the other things that we really try and do here is we have a local police academy at the local university, and we try and recruit out of academy because a lot of those people are already very are settled in St. George, and so it's not somebody new trying to come in and establish themselves.
I wrote a story on 890kdxu.com yesterday about the number of people that walk to work. The story was actually about how people commute, and amazingly, so many people still to this day commute one person in a car for various reasons. But did you know, Chief, and this I think you'll find this interesting, and 1.5% of the population of Washington County walks to work.
I did not know that.
That is, you say 1.5% of 200,000 in the county, you're talking about, you know, several thousand people, two or 3,000 people that walk to work every single day. I was, you know, kind of evaluating my own deal. Could I walk to work? Well, I come very, very early. I don't know that walking to work in the dark, and you know, I live on the other side of that hill right there, so yeah. I'd be walking on Red Hills Parkway and trying to get over the hill in the dark. And I don't know that it is very realistic for me. But what kind of challenges that pose for the police department, knowing that there's quite a few people that walk a lot here in the county, in the county and in St. George?
Well, it kind of goes back to what we talked about already with the road redesign in Dixie Downs area.
Mm-hmm.
In that, you know, it's sometimes it's a little bit inconvenient. We're comfortable here in just having roadways that are designed for cars, automobiles.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing scooters and we're seeing mopeds and we're seeing a lot more. We see people on the little one-wheel, I think they call them one-wheelers. There's all these different devices now that people commute on. And it does become challenging in that we get people hit from time to time. You know, we just had a couple of people recently hit on the personal mobility devices, you know, the little electric wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And then you throw time of day into the mix, the volume of traffic, and that does pose challenges. And if now we have all these distractions in our cars, and our cars are very airtight and quiet, and so sometimes we don't hear horns and other things going on around us.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's easy to kind of get very comfortable in our cars. We have a rental car right now. My wife was involved in a collision, and so we've got this rental, and it's got all this electronics in there to tell you, you know, oh, don't change lanes because someone's next to you. And when you start to get a little close to the line,
beep, beep, beep,
it,
beep.
It vibrates.
You know,
the steering wheel vibrates, and so all these things that take away our need to be, or I guess give us a false sense of security that we don't need to be paying attention. And so then you throw pedestrians and cyclists and all those people into the mix. And it does pose a challenge as we see more and more people go away from driving and choose alternative modes of transportation.
And that's actually, and we've got a commercial break coming up here. That's one of the things I did want to talk about, though, was distractions and cars. And, you know, I had somebody actually, I was talking with somebody about distractions, and they said, well, look at the police. They have laptops, and they have screens all over their cars and everything. And I was like, well, yeah, but that's a little bit different, and they're using those when they're parked. They're not using those while they're driving most of the time. So
yeah, typically, unless there's some emergency where our officers are instructed not to use, not to have the laptops where they're, you know, typing or reading things. If they're stopped at a stoplight, that might be a little bit different, yeah. But they need to minimize those distractions.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. Chief Kyle Whitehead is with me here on the Andy Griffin Show this morning. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I wanted to talk a little bit about, and Chief is so good about, whatever you want to talk about, Andy, we'll do it. So you're very candid, and I appreciate that. It seems like to me more and more and more and more and more we get so distracted while we're driving. And when you talked about, you know, all the screens in the car, you mentioned your rental car and all the stuff on that. I rented a Tesla last, you know, it's been a couple of years now, but they have the screen in the Tesla. I mean, it's like, I wouldn't say a big screen TV, but it's like a TV yeah. monitor. And then, of course, everybody has their phones. And so I thought, okay, we know it's a problem. Distracted driving is a problem. I thought maybe we could talk about some ideas to fix the problem. What can we do? But I know the car manufacturers are trying to do some things, the hands-free stuff. But do you have any other ideas for us on how we can maybe not be so distracted while we're driving?
You know, I think a lot of it just comes back to the fact that we've got to be responsible for our own behavior. Sometimes we say, well, the car manufacturers, you know, they can put this technology in there and it'll help cut down on distraction. Or there's these things that can be done. Well, at the end of the day, it really comes back to our own personal responsibility and accountability. And I'll admit, I'm far too distracted when I drive sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not even by screens. Well, most of the time it's not by screens. It's actually by just my thoughts. You know, sometimes life is so busy and we get in these, for example, do you ever drive to and from work and wonder, wow, if someone asked you about when you went through a particular intersection, do you even recall?
I have no idea. Yeah.
Right?
We've all done that.
We all do that. And so those, I think a lot of this has to come back to our own personal accountability. One of the things that I think is important is sometimes get our family members to help us. I know I tell my kids often is, look, if you see me driving, not because kids, even younger kids, they see when you start acting kind of weird, or maybe I glance at my phone screen or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Have people help you. Have your spouse. Now, some of us probably are like, well, I wish I get less help from my spouse, right? But
no, I will say this, not to interrupt, but I wanted to tell you, my wife is fantastic. If there's any kind of phone, anything while I'm driving, she puts her hands out, give it to me, and I'm like, but I'm just going to, we're at a stoplight. Give it to me. I'm like, all right.
That's great.
Yeah, you're
That's great support. Yeah. And so, you know, pull over. If it's really that important that you answer a call or a text or have to look at the screen, you know, Bluetooth, this hands-free thing, I think it's okay. It still does cause some distraction.
Yeah.
It still does take our mind off of what we should be focusing on. Again, you know, we're driving these 200 to 300-pound metal missiles around, and you know,
2,000 to 3,000, and huge things.
It can really be a catastrophic when we make a mistake.
Maybe some of the things that really brought it home for me was when my daughters got their driver's licenses. Now that my youngest is 20 now, so it's been a few years, but we bought them. You know, we had an arrangement where they would pay us, and we got them a car, and. But, you know, at that, we wanted to spend $3,000 or $4,000 on a car because, you know, you want a cheap car for your first kid and then they might get an accident, whatever. But my one daughter wanted this little teeny car. And, you know, we'll get that for you. That'll be your car. But and I thought, you know, if she ever gets in a wreck, if a pickup sideswipe or a T-bones her, she's done. That's it. And I think that we take lightly, and because accidents statistically are quite unlikely to happen to you. I mean, I'm 58. I've been in two accidents in my life. Mm-hmm. Well, three, I guess, if you count the motorcycle one. But so, yeah, in 42 years of driving, I've been in three accidents. So they're not likely to happen. But at the same time, if it were to happen, you know, it's catastrophic. You mentioned the big giant metal whatever weapons that we have.
Yeah.
It just takes once, and all of a sudden, your life has changed forever.
So it's funny, you talk about your daughters, and now mm-hmm. they're all grown. Well, I have two teenage daughters that are mm-hmm. going to be getting their license within the next year and a half.
Yeah.
And something my brother told me when his daughter got her license is he said, buy them a manual car. Because now they have to, you know, use that other hand for shifting, you know, one hand on the steering wheel, one hand, and you can't find manual cars.
I was going to say, they don't make them anymore.
Yeah. Now, we have a Volkswagen that is a manual that we bought. We'll probably hand that down to them, but now you've got a whole other problem of trying to teach them how to drive a stick shift, right?
This was a long time ago, but I remember when I was approaching the age to get my license, we only had manuals in my family. And so not only did I have to learn how to drive, I had to learn how to drive a stick shift, the clutch and all that. And I just remember one time, sitting at a stoplight uphill in Salt Lake and going, I don't know how I'm going to do this without rolling backwards into the other car or stalling it, trying to get going. And I think my dad made the comment, there's some discretion as to, or some disagreement on what age you said. He said you drive like a 9-year-old or something like that, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever. 9-year-olds don't drive, but that's what he said, and I probably deserved it. But
yeah.
What I had done is I had stalled right in the middle of 90th South. I had stalled our car because I didn't give it enough gas.
That could be a challenge.
Yeah. So we're addressing a little bit here, trying to figure out how we can stop distracted driving. You mentioned something, the hands-free, and you know. Most modern cars now have the hands-free. You Bluetooth into your car. If it rings, you can actually, a lot of cars, you can just push a button right on your steering wheel. You never ever have to take your hands off the wheel. And so they're like, hey, we fixed it. No more distracted driving. But that's actually not entirely true. There's still a measure of distraction when your mind is in this phone call and not on the road in front of you, isn't there?
Well, and even beyond just phone calls, now you can send and receive text messages through your Bluetooth. Wow. It reads your message for you. It doesn't put it on a screen.
Mine doesn't do that.
It reads it. Some do. Yeah. And then it will, and then you can compose a message back. And so here we are talking about messages and other things that when we should be focusing on driving.
And it auto-corrects, and you're about to tell somebody that they're, you know.
It never auto-corrects. Correct for me. Yeah, I always get bad words in there. I'm trying to talk to somebody.
Well, that's what I mean. You get the autocorrect changing things, and that's not what I meant. And then you're worried about that instead of the fact that there's a pedestrian in front of you or something. I had yesterday, so I come very early in the morning, 5:00 in the morning. I'm coming to work, and I was coming down Hope Street down there, about to turn onto across the diagonal, and you can imagine, Chief, at 5 a.m., there's rarely anyone out. Mm-hmm. I'll see an occasional car as far as pedestrians or scooters or things like that. Never. I mean, I say never. And yet yesterday I stopped to cross the diagonal. So I was coming, you know, down from Hope Street. I was going to cross the diagonal and head on in here to work. And I looked once and I looked twice. And the second time, a guy riding a scooter is coming up the diagonal and about to cross in front of me. So I had actually, in the process of looking twice, had taken my foot off the brake and was going to transfer it over to the gas to go. And I put it back on the brake because this guy was going to go right in front of me at, you know, electric scooter going 20 or 25 miles per hour. And I think that's part of it, too, is the you mentioned, you know, you're going to work and you don't even think about what you did, and you just, because you always do the exact same thing or whatever. Well, that was one of those occasions where something was different than the usual. You know, at 5 a.m., there's never scooter riders or pedestrians. Something was different, and it almost turned into a tragic situation.
Yeah, and scooter riders, you know, to talk about that a little bit, they unfortunately go at faster speeds. We're used to pedestrians. You see them coming.
It's true.
And they're pretty slow, and sometimes if there's a little bit more room for error on the driver's side in that, oh, I didn't see him, but now I do when I stop. But, man, those scooters move along, and the e-bikes and some of these other electric vehicles. vehicles or mobility devices that we have out there.
I did see this morning, this was kind of cool, a couple of pedestrians, walkers at 5 o'clock this morning, both of them were wearing not just reflective vests, they had lights on their vests. Mm-hmm. And so, and they were on the, they were not in the roadway, they were on a sidewalk, but I saw them this morning, I was like, those are people that really, you know what it's all about. That when you're crossing the street and it's dark and it's 5 o'clock in the morning, you better be pretty visible.
Yeah, do your best to try and make yourself seen.
So, Chief of Police Kyle Whitehead is with us today. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more from the chief. We'll talk a little bit about retirement. Chief, are you getting close? Is it? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. Yeah.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Kyle Whitehead. He is the Chief of Police, St. George Police Department. St. George pushing over 100,000 now.
Yes,
Chief.
We are.
Holy smokes.
Still growing. Not as fast as we were a few years ago, but we're still growing.
20 and 21 and 22 was crazy.
I know.
So let's talk a little bit about you for a minute. I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but you've been chief for going on 5 years. You've been in the police department for, what, 25 years?
Yeah, so 25 in November.
You could theoretically retire if you wanted to, couldn't you, from the police chief, from the police department?
Yeah, I could pull my pension and move on to greener pastures. I'm still fairly young. I consider myself middle-aged, so
he's less than 50. That's
I wouldn't necessarily want to retire. I couldn't afford it, first of all. I've got a young family and you know, medical costs, that's always an issue. But
sure.
It's probably in the next while.
I was going to say, do you have you mapped out how long you're going to stay chief and how long you're going to stay with the police department? Or
yeah,
not really?
I'd like to stay as long as two things: as long as I feel like I'm being effective in what I do, mm-hmm. and also as long as the city is comfortable with the job I'm doing and the direction I'm taking the police department. And so, I don't know. I guess to give a specific exit date, I don't really have
one.
Have
one so, those, yeah. That's okay.
But yeah, it's been a really good career. That's one of the things I try and encourage people that are considering a career in government or law enforcement in Utah. You know, we have a good pension still. The pension system
aren't very many of those left.
It's very well funded. And, you know, sometimes in government you make a little bit less money on the front end, your take-home salary, right?
Yeah.
But the benefit is that pension in the long run is something that once you pull that pension and that you get that consistent amount month after month the rest of your life.
Now, as a relatively young man, if you did retire in the next 1, 3, 5 years, and I don't want to start any rumors, we don't know, but you would have to find a second career. Do you know what it is that, I mean, your whole life is built around being a police officer, and then you step down as a police officer. Would you try to stay in that area, that arena, or would you go something completely different?
You know, it's hard to say. I really love this career. It's something that I've really feel like has helped me as a person, and I feel like I've been able to make a difference. I think it would just depend. I've always had a little bit of an interest in the private sector, doing something. I don't know what. Like I said, and like you mentioned, aside from my just policing, that's really all I know. Hopefully I've developed some other skills in the last 25 years. Leadership skills and things that might translate into other areas of employment, but for now I really haven't given it much thought. There are police officers. We've had some in the last few years that retire. They go to work like at hospital security. We've had some. I know of other police chiefs that have retired and they go and work for private organizations doing different things. And so I think a lot of it just comes down to what you feel would work well for you and is a good fit and where your interests are.
We have a friend who was a police officer in Washington City, actually still is part-time, but retired sort of from policing in Washington City and became security at the St. George Temple.
Mm-hmm.
pretty cool job, you know, and he loves his job. And
he's a great guy.
Oh, you know Officer Ray, cool.
I do.
By the way, Stockton, I'm going to go ahead right now and give away these two free Wendy's. It's a free small Dave single combo meal. If you'll give us a call right now at 673-5890, I'll let Stockton handle the calls. We'll take caller number two. How about that? Caller number two, 673-5890 for two free Dave's single combo meals, and Stockton will be the voice you hear when you call into the program. So the chief will not commit to how much longer he's going to be chief, which is probably smart, right?
Yeah. It could be tomorrow. Who knows?
People ask me, when are you going to retire? How much longer are you going to go? And I get some people that say, please do retire, and some people that say, please don't retire. So both sides of the fence there. But for me, I'm still probably a couple of years away.
I'd still have to work. I mean, regardless of what happens, you know, I'd have to find another career.
High-profile crimes and incidents here in St. George recently. There was an incident the other day, and I don't know if it was in St. George City or if this was in Washington City, but with a fugitive and armed officers walking around trying to find this person, and somebody commented online, and of course the online comments can be toxic at times, but they said, oh, whatever happened to our quaint little St. George, Mayberry, you know, St. George. Do you feel like St. George is losing a little bit of its small town innocence?
We're certainly seeing the challenges that come along with growth, you know, and I think to say that it's the same St. George it was 20 years ago wouldn't be accurate. But I know with the police department, we're committed to try and keep it as quaint in this small town for as long as we can. And so I still think comparing our city to other cities our size throughout the country, mm-hmm. I think we're still doing a pretty good job. And by we, I don't just mean the police department. I mean all of our community members. We have a community that's very concerned and interested in the direction things are going. They want to keep St. George, St. George, and all the great things that make us unique.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what makes the difference here. You know, the police, we're only, 150 of us in a city of over 100,000 people.
Yeah.
And so we rely on our community, and we appreciate the fact that people still are interested enough. They want to get involved. They want to help. They look out for neighbors and friends and loved ones. And so I think it's great. We've got a lot of good things going on here.
As the seasons change, and I know it's hot this week and it feels like summer is still here, as the seasons change, though, Chief, what are some of the crimes that are going to start rearing their ugly heads when autumn really does arrive and when the temperatures start to cool down? What do we need to be on the lookout for?
You know, maybe not so much for autumn. Well, I guess it is. It depends on how early you start your holiday shopping, Christmas shopping, right? But that's always a problem. We start to see more packages arriving, the whole porch pirate situation.
Yeah.
Used to be we just dealt with the vehicle burglaries in the shopping centers and people leaving their purchases out in the car where they're visible, not either covering them or putting them in the trunks. But that still happens occasionally as well. And so that's probably one of the biggest challenges we'll start to see. The holidays do bring out stress in people's lives. Sometimes we see an increase in domestic issues or just people committing crimes due to stress or unhealthy coping mechanisms, turning to alcohol or other substances to kind of numb some of their problems. It's kind of unfortunate that it happens, you know, a time of year when we should be very grateful and just appreciate people. And sometimes it's not always that way.
It's unfortunately when loneliness rears its ugly head too sometimes. But by the way, a couple of things. Deborah S. was our winner of our Wendy's combo meal, so congratulations to her. Also, somebody else texted in advice, I don't know for me or for you, Chief, but he says, retire when it's not fun anymore.
Yeah, that's I've heard that. When you're not having fun, then
it's time to let it go.
Probably time to let it go.
I'm still having fun. Are you still having fun?
Oh, I have fun. Now, the only thing I would add to that is if I'm having fun, but everybody in the organization's going, yeah, you've outlasted your usefulness, then I probably, hopefully I have somebody in the organization that puts their arm around me and says, hey, you know, maybe it's, you've lost your effectiveness. I don't know.
Just, I'm having fun. They aren't, but yeah. You know, whatever. All right, Chief, thanks for coming on today. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I appreciate you sending, I've had different detectives and officers on the last few months, and it's been fantastic. So
great. Always happy to come.
Keep up the good work. Annie Griffin Show on KDXU. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in and being a part of the program. Let's see. I was going to look and see who's on tomorrow. And right now, my brain is escaping. Can I find it before I run out of time? Tomorrow is Washington County Water Conservancy District. Talk to you then.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.